Is your plan just to help as much as you can until training camp starts, and then you're like, hey, sorry?
Yeah, I kind of feel useless. Like, I get home, like, around 3. I get there, and she's already asleep, so I'm like, I mean, you want me to hold her? Like, she's like, oh, I got everything. I'm like, okay. Come time, bedtime, like, you need me to... She's like, nah, I'm good. I'm like, okay. You know, I go to work, same thing. It's like on repeat. So, but it's cool. She's awesome.
Has it changed anything in terms of the way you go about practicing, managing your schedule, or is it kind of the same plus a baby?
Yeah, for the most part, it's been kind of the same, just plus the baby. I was saying we had great timing because OTAs, like, time management wise, isn't as demanding. And so it's been awesome just to, you know, get back in the flow of things and then not have to stress too much about not being there enough for, you know, her and being supportive, and especially because we don't really have anyone helping us or helping her out at home. So it's been good, though. Like, the shorter days help a lot, you know, less meeting time. You know, obviously you're not out there very long anyway, so it's been good.
The secondary is going to look different. We lost TJ last year, and now Tlaib's gone. What about this makes you think you guys can still play at a high level, and then you add Cravens into that mix too? What is it when people think, have kind of joked that the no-fly zone doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously Aqib and TJ were huge catalysts, a part of the no-fly zone, and obviously that Super Bowl run and, you know, going back-to-back and, you know, number one passing defense. I mean, there's no replacing someone like TJ and Aqib, but Chris, Roby, and Stu were also there, you know, a part of that run. They know what standard that is to uphold as far as a no-fly zone goes. So obviously there's been talks about, you know, with TJ and Lee being gone, about, you know, the no-fly zone kind of disbanding and it being gone. And, you know, I'm not here to say it's here or it's left, but I know the standard of the no-fly zone is staying, because that's we expect nothing less than that standard that they have set. So you call it what you want, you know, no-fly zone 2.0, no-fly zone, or call it something totally different, but that standard, that mindset still stays the same.
Isaac Yadom said that BC you referred to as the GOAT, the God, and the perfect man. What do you think of that?
Wow. I would say all three of those are probably false, especially the last two. But the guys at BC were great. I mean, Isaac was great. We just built a brotherhood there, you know, much like the guys here have built, you know, over the past couple of years. And so, I mean, it's awesome that, you know, he looks at me in that aspect, and that's cool. But I definitely wouldn't back up those responses saying that those are 100% accurate. But it's definitely awesome, man. Love Ike.
What have you seen from him so far?
I think he's doing all right. He's getting a lot of twos and threes reps. So I haven't, you know, when I come off to the sideline, I'm talking to the other guys about adjustments we need to make and things like that. So I haven't seen a bunch, and we meet separately, you know, corners and safeties at times. And so, haven't really seen like a lot, but I've talked to him a few times, asked him how he's doing, how he's picking up the schemes of the defense and things in that nature. And all that's super helpful for him, because obviously we have the same lingo, you know, coming from BC, and so he'd be able to adapt easier just asking questions and figuring out from that standpoint. But as far as I know, he's doing pretty well.
How will you be personally? We're having a good year last year, and then you had that fluky injury. How frustrating was it to miss the last three games, and any adjustments to celebrations for you in light of what happened?
Yeah, no celebrating, period. That's definitely taken out of the you know, the playbook. But as far as being frustrated goes, it was definitely frustrating. You know, and I think the most frustrating part was I could have played, but just due to the circumstances of the season not going the way we wanted it to, and just, you know, finding, just letting other guys get in there and see what we had, you know, as far as like backups and other guys getting some playing time for the future, that's what it came down to. And so for me, it was frustrating, because after, I mean, it was a quick turnaround to go to Indy on that Thursday for the Color Rush game. But I think for sure I could have played, you know, that, I think it was that next Sunday against Washington. I felt fine, obviously not 100%, but if that was a playoff game, I would have been okay when it went in and played. And so that was the most frustrating part, was I know I could have played, but just due to the circumstances of the season not going the way we wanted it to, we felt it was in my best interest just to make sure you heal properly, you know, and just get ready for year 3 and to do bigger and better things.
What
Why will you be better this year, as a knowing going in that you're the starter, and self evaluation? What makes you believe, like, hey, I can just keep going upward, being better?
Yeah, well, there's always room for improvement. I mean, that's the cliche saying, but it's so true. So year three, I mean, that's really the year things are supposed to click, and so I feel comfortable. And once again, it's not like I'm taking a hold 100% of the secondary. I still have Stu, I still have Chris, I still have Roby. And so although I am taking a bigger leadership role, I still have those guys to lean on and to ask questions about. And I still have so much knowledge in that back end that I can attain anytime I want. And so those guys make my job, you know, so much easier. And, you know, playing with guys up front like Vaughn, Chubb, Shane, Shaq, you know, guys that get after the wolf, guys that get after the pass rush too, make my job easier. And so, you know, this defense is going to be great again, and we expect, you know, greatness, and we expect to compete for that number one defensive spot and to earn that spot. And so, it just like I said, I'm just looking forward to year three, man. I know I can contribute big time.
OTAs are different meaning for different players, various meanings for different players. What does this voluntary work at this time of year mean to you?
Yeah, OTAs definitely has different meanings for different players, like you said. I think personally, it still means something. You know, OTAs, you're still out there, you're still making your checks, you're still making the plays. But it's nowhere near the level of, I think, emphasis and intensity as, like, training camp is, and especially when you're going, you're hosting a team or you're being hosted. You know, just the level of intensity. I mean, you're more comfortable here because you're going against, you know, the familiar face every single day. You know, come time training camp, you're getting real looks from different teams. You have preseason games. And so things start flying by, and you really have to start game plan adjusting. Like right now, you're just out here, you know, going through your plays, installing. You know, come time training camp and stuff like that is really when, you know, you see when guys either get it or don't. And so OTAs is great. It's no knock on OTAs. I mean, you can definitely tell when a guy is a player or not in OTAs, but training camp's the real deal.
Obviously, you're on the other side of the bubble. What have you seen from the offense in Case Keenum?
Yeah, I always say I'm not I'm no quarterback's coach, but just from what I've seen, I mean, he looks comfortable. The guys have already rallied around him. You know, I know he talked about saying he wanted to come in and earn that leadership spot, and I'm not speaking for him or for anyone on the offensive side, but I feel like he's definitely earning it, and if not has earned it, you know, day by day already just in OTAs. I mean, he's taken, you know, full steam of the offense and really getting them going, and he looks good. You know, he's starting to look a little comfortable. So I'm just, that, like I said, on top of that and how I feel about our defense, I'm just – excited for the season. I can't wait till it gets here.
What has stuck out about Hamilton and Sutton so far when you've seen them out there as young guys?
Yeah, they both seem really poised as rookies. I mean, I think they've been out there a few times with the ones, and, you know, they just seem poised. They seem like they know their playbook really well. You know, Sutton, he's made a couple 50-50 balls look easy. So he's definitely a special talent, you know, going up and high-pointing the football, which is great. And I think they're going to contribute big time. So, you know, hopefully that just continues and they just continue to grow throughout, you know, the rest of OTAs, training camp, and then going on to the season.
Last one for
me. How's
it added to the game? Yeah, Sue's been awesome. I think, you know, bringing in Sue, he just gives us another level of our defense that we can just, you know, totally explore into. I mean, he gives us so much more versatility and mobility, both at, you know, safety and if we put him at, like, a, you know, our diamond nickel packages. And so he's also another smart safety too. I mean, he already is picking up the defense, knows it well, is making his checks. And so Sue already, just in, I don't even know what week this is in OTAs, but already has, you know, seemed like he's been a day one guy. He's been here, you know, since all of last year. So really excited to have him, and like I said, another part of the defense that, you know, just make us that much better.